I am not worthy, said the centurion in our passage today. I am not worthy. We don't have much experience with that phrase, do we? We hardly ever hear it, let alone say it. In fact, in much of the world around us, the opposite of that phrase is what we often hear. We hear people expressing their sense of entitlement. We hear people demanding that they be respected. And we hear complaints about not getting what people deserve. We hear lots of those things. And then there's a movement within Christendom, one that's called the prosperity gospel. And the prosperity gospel espouses the idea that you deserve to be wealthy and God wants you to be rich. You are worthy. Does God want me rich? I kind of doubt it. It's no evidence that that's the case anyway. I expect that God wants me faithful and generous and kind, but rich, probably not so much. And that might be just as well, because I imagine that wealth stands in the way of our centurion's assertion, I am not worthy. I imagine that wealth goes to our heads. It increases our sense of self-importance, and it contradicts any sense that we might have of our own unworthiness. And yet our centurion says, I am not worthy. And then the response of Jesus. In the church where Kim and I worshiped when we lived in Great Britain, we said a communion prayer every week that used this, to us, initially unfamiliar phrase, I am not worthy. Well, actually, the prayer says this. It says, we do not presume to come to this, your table, merciful Lord, trusting in our own righteousness, but in your manifold and great mercies. We are not worthy so much as to gather up the crumbs under your table, but you are the same Lord whose nature is always to have mercy. We are not worthy. Plural, not singular, but the implication is the same. And that prayer made me wonder what people thought about when they said that prayer every week. I imagine that when we said, we are, subtext, I am not worthy, that some people thought to themselves, well, that's certainly true. I am not worthy. And I imagine that when we said, we are, subtext, I am not worthy, some people thought, well, certainly some of these people aren't worthy, but actually, I'm a pretty good person, and in fact, I am worthy. Maybe people think one of those things sometimes, and they think the other one at other times. And I don't know whether you see yourselves as worthy or unworthy, or whether our view of ourselves as worthy or unworthy is fixed, or whether it's fluid. Is it subject to change? But regardless of what you think, the fact is this: we are not worthy, just as the communion prayer says. Now, some of us are perhaps more unworthy than others, but none of us are worthy. And before you say, well, what about so-and-so? They're the best person I've ever known. Let me assure you of this, that the very people who you think might be worthy are the ones who are most clearly aware of how much they are not. Tony Campolo is a well-known evangelical minister and speaker. Tony draws big crowds wherever he goes to speak, and I was once part of one of those big crowds. He began his remarks to that group by saying this. He got up and he said, if you knew the truth about me, you wouldn't be here listening. This comment caused a good bit of twittering. This was before the electronic type of that was available. A good bit of twittering in the crowd. People perhaps expecting some kind of a revelation about this well-known personality. Tony let the commotion die down and he started off again. He said, if you knew the truth about me, you wouldn't be here listening to me. And if I knew the truth about you, I wouldn't be here talking to you. Tony's point is that none of us are blameless. We are not worthy. Even those people we know who are quietly working away, living out their faith, being kind and helpful, not even them. They're not worthy, and they know that they're not. And if we're honest with ourselves, we know that we're not worthy either. And when we admit to ourselves and to the people around us that we're not worthy, and when we recognize that nobody else is either, and then we begin to be a little gentler with each other and with ourselves, we become a truer reflection of who God wants us to be. That realization that we are not worthy can be a kind of a downer. But the good news is that it doesn't matter. And it doesn't matter because we are not showered with God's blessing because we are worthy. And conversely, we are not ill or misfortuned because we are not worthy. We are who we are. We are fallen, fallible human beings with all the problems and the blessings that entails. And none of that is because of our worthiness or lack thereof. It is simply a condition of our being human. Because you see, we do not get what we deserve. And thank God for that, some of us say much more enthusiastically than others of you. We do not get what we deserve. Instead, we are showered with God's blessing because it is God's very nature to treat us that way. And our worthiness is quite simply not a factor. A few verses before our text for today picks up, Jesus reminds the crowd that God, quote, is kind to the ungrateful and the wicked. The ungrateful and the wicked are clearly people who are not worthy, and God nevertheless is still kind even to them. At the recent regional assembly of the Christian Church Disciples of Christ in Georgia, we talked about the future of the church and about how the church can approach the world humbly and about how we, the church, can begin to undo the harm that the church has done to some people. In short, how can we redeem our reputation? I believe that our understanding of ourselves as not worthy is one way that we can do that. And I think letting the world know that we know and recognize that our own, both individual and collective, unworthiness, that we recognize that, letting the world know that is one way we can begin to undo some of the harm that the church has done to people. And it's one way that we can begin to redeem our reputation. There are lots of people outside the circle of the church who think one of two things. You do know, by the way, that there are two kinds of people in the world. That's people who think that there are two kinds of people in the world and people who don't. Anyway, there are some people outside the church who think that the church is full of people who think that they're better than everybody else. How they have received this impression, I do not know. Because with very few exceptions, and you know who you are, the church people that I know don't think that they are better than everybody else. But still, the impression persists. Outside the church, people think that the church is full of people who believe they're better than everybody else. So if people outside the church begin to know that we, the people inside the church, recognize our own unworthiness, they might just find the church a more compelling place to be. But there are some other people outside the church who would also benefit from knowing that we in the church recognize our own unworthiness. This group of people are the ones who think that they are not worthy enough to be here. And they think that, many of them, because they have been told by the church or by someone in the church or by some group of people in the church that because of who they are or what they have done or where they live or who they love or who their parents are or some other characteristic that they are not worthy to be here. And so they have excluded themselves because they think that they're not good enough. And they're right. But none of us who are already here are good enough either. We have a responsibility to let people know that we're not here because we're worthy. We're not here because we're good. We are here because we have faith in the God who loves us and faith in the Christ who came to save each and every one of us. And trust me on this, there are people who are just waiting to hear that. In our text today, you remember, the elders went to Jesus and said, "You should do this. He's worthy. He built our synagogue. He's a great guy. Do this for him." And then the centurion said, "I am not worthy, but only say the word." And Jesus performed the healing. But the healing that Jesus performed wasn't because those elders were compelling or because the centurion was or wasn't worthy or even because the centurion's servant was in need. The text says that Jesus found the centurion's faith to be remarkable. "Not even in Israel have I found such faith." Our centurion had faith that Jesus could do what he was asking. Our centurion believed that Jesus had the authority to accomplish this healing. Now, that idea sounds a bit strange to our modern ears, the centurion's message. "For I am also set under authority. I say go and someone goes, come and someone comes, do this and someone does it." But all of that sounds a little less strange to us if we realize that the societal understanding at the time was that if someone, say a certain centurion's servant, was ill, it was likely the result of demon possession. So the centurion is saying that Jesus has authority over these demons and so can speak the word and let the servant be healed. And the centurion believes that Jesus can cast out these demons with the word without even being in the house. And that belief is testimony to the level of faith that the centurion professes. And that is what Jesus found so remarkable and noteworthy. So our centurion had faith that Jesus could heal with a word. And so it was accomplished. Our centurion knew that he wasn't worthy. The text says that's why the centurion first sent elders and then friends to Jesus. "I did not presume to come to you." But our centurion did make that request in faith, believing that Jesus could accomplish what he was asking, even though he, the centurion, was unworthy. The outcome of this wasn't predicated on the worthiness of the petitioner, but rather on the faith of the petitioner. What do we have faith that Jesus will do? Do we have enough faith to expect anything of consequence from Jesus? Do we even dare ask? Are we worthy? Are we not worthy? We're not. We're not worthy. But our asking is not about worthiness, and it never was. It's about the one we believe in and the faith that we have. So, what do we have faith that Jesus will do? Amen.